Good morning. Got my AC guy over there. I had to lose my jacket. It's pretty warm up here. Or it's pretty warm in general. Before I get started, I do have a couple announcements I'd like to make. Number one is, if you'll notice out back in the foyer, there's boxes, and I made this announcement in class, but there's some boxes of things that we need for Opportunity Camp. And if you don't know what Opportunity Camp is, thanks. On cue. Opportunity Camp is a camp that we're involved in. It's over. We get together with several other congregations, and we meet at Camp Buttman. And it's an opportunity for kids that don't get an opportunity to go to camp to go to camp. And when they come to camp, a lot of kids will come without, some without clothes. And when I say clothes, they'll come with the clothes on their back. And so we have a store, and 37th Street is in charge of running that store. And that store has everything to meet these kids' needs. We have socks, shoes, underwear, T-shirts, shorts, everything. Bedding, if they need it. And so this is our opportunity to take care of some of these kids. And there's things out there that we need to take with us, and there's boxes with labels on them, so you'll know what that is. And also, something else that we've done is the shoes for kids for Op Camp. If you'd like to sponsor a new pair of shoes, and not for everybody, not everybody gets them. So what we do is we kind of have our eyes and ears open. We see the kids, we listen to their counselors, and we look for kids that they may be walking out of their shoes. And so what we'll do is we will get them a new pair of shoes. And if you would like to sponsor a new pair of shoes, there's three ways that you can help. And you can make $25, $50, or $100 donations. So you can buy a half a pair of shoes for $25, a whole pair of shoes for $50, or two pair of shoes for $100. But if you would grab a form and drop it back by the office with your donation, that would be great. And so anyway, that's just a way that we have Opportunity Camp coming up here in a few weeks. And so I wanted to put that out there to you guys so that we could do that. So thanks for putting that back up, Gary. Anyway, would you pray with me before we get started? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for today, and we're so thankful for this opportunity to come together as your family. We have been blessed by the presence of one another and your presence among us, and we pray your time with us this morning and your time in your word this morning will bless us as we look at the ways that you pursue us. Father, I pray that you will be with us this morning, that you will continue with us throughout this week as we pursue those who you are in pursuit of. Father, we love you and we thank you for your Son. It's in his holy name that we pray. Amen. Webster's Dictionary defines the word pursuit as the act of following or pursuing someone or something. Now, if you think about that for a minute, meaning that there must be someone or something that's worth catching. May or may not be true, but when we think of the word pursuit, if I say that, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I'll tell you the first thing that comes to mind, and that's all the cop shows we have that come on TV, and they're always chasing somebody. They're always in pursuit. We have live PD now, which that had never been up before. We have Cops, which has been around for forever. There's a whole bunch of other cop shows that come out, that are out, and they're all about chasing the bad guy. All right? Well, most of those all end on bad terms. I mean, very seldom do you see a pursuit take place on TV with the cops that it turns out well for the person that's being pursued. But what about positive pursuits? Things that are not like that, I feel like that is negative. But what about positive pursuits? Like pursuing your dreams, pursuing that favorite job, pursuing an education, pursuing a future spouse. What about those kind of pursuits? Those things that are a little bit that are not negative. Things that the society deems as positive pursuits, and they encourage people to pursue these things. But how often do we feel like, or how often do we think about, actually, God pursuing us? How often do we think about God's pursuit of His creation? God has been pursuing us for ages. God has been pursuing us since the beginning of time. He had to start pursuing us because we fell away really quickly. God pursues those people who are worth catching. And God deems His creation as worth catching. When you read through the account of the creation back in Genesis, He gets to man and they look at man and think, man, that is very good. We are the pinnacle of what He made because everything else up to that point was just good. But we are very good. And for us, to God, we are worth catching. And you and I may not think that, but when you look at Scripture, you and I are worth catching. And we'll get to how much we're worth here in just a little bit. Well, we're worth catching, and He sees us as that. His very good creation. And God has been pursuing us and been trying to catch us for years. God pursues His creation over and over again. He's never turned away from us. He's never turned away. When I say us, I'm talking about His creation. He's never turned away from His creation. He's allowed us to reap the consequences of our actions, but He's never turned away. I want us to turn, if you will, over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, we see the first pursuit of mankind by God. The first pursuit of mankind by God, Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, is in the garden. What's happening in these verses? Well, Adam and Eve just taking a bite of the fruit. They've just taken a bite of the fruit and, well, now they've gone into hiding. But what do we see God doing in this? In their hiding, in their sin? God is in pursuit of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" How many of us are guilty? How many of us are guilty of hiding from God? Adam and Eve, they hid from God. And for years and years, I hid from God. Before I ever decided to turn my life over to Him, I hid from Him. Not in a sense that I went and found a bush to get behind, but a sense that I went and I avoided those people. And when I say avoided, I avoided those people. We would go to church, and I avoided those people that God was sending my way. What I didn't know was He was in pursuit of me through them. That's what He uses. He uses people like you to get to people like me. And that's how He works. He uses His people to get to other people. That's what we see. People catching people. That's how God works. But I hid from Him for many years. It's like Adam and Eve, they went and they hid from God in the garden. How many of us are guilty from doing that? But I want to question, how far could Adam and Eve have gone to get away from Him? How far could they have traveled? Where could they have gone to escape the eyes of God, the ears of God? There's no place that they could have gone. Psalm 139, 7 through 8 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." Hiding from Him and hiding from the people that He sends our way, those people that He uses to move us, to get to us. God is always in pursuit of His creation. There's no place we can go that He's not there. In the depths of our sorrows and on the hills of our gladness and joy, He's there. Always in pursuit of us. With Adam and Eve, God was walking through the garden looking for them. He was walking looking for that which He said was very good. How many of us look at ourselves in the mirror and consider ourselves in God's eyes very good? Those were His words. That we are very good. We are worth catching. No matter where we go, He's looking for us. Especially when we know we do wrong. God still wants us. He still desires us. He's still in pursuit of us. Always love this scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:11. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he's talking about there, about how God has made beautiful everything in its time. And then there's this one little spot there that says, "He has set eternity in the hearts of men." Solomon's talking about how God has set eternity in our hearts where we should always be looking for and seeking God. But when we're not, He's always in pursuit of us. There's an emptiness. When we don't know God, there's an emptiness that is within us that is void. For those people that don't know God, that don't know who He is, that don't know what He's done, because the rest of that scripture says, yet they cannot fathom what God has done for them from beginning to end. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. Sometimes we can't fathom the things that God has done for us and is willing to do for us from the beginning of time to the very end, what we see with Jesus, what He was willing to do with His Son on the cross. You and I have a hard time fathoming that and understanding that, but that doesn't mean it any less that God is not in pursuit of us and chasing us, because He is. From the very beginning, God pursues us. Through the law, through His people, or He pursued His people through the law. A lot of times when God set up the law and set it up for His people, the Israelites, He didn't set it up as a bunch of rules and things just for them to follow, just so that He can say, I want you to follow these rules. That's not why He set it up. God set this up always to get to the heart of man. These weren't just a bunch of rules that He expected them to follow. He did it. He did things that would deal with everyday life for them. He gave them a way to know Him, to know what was expected of Him, to know how much He loved them. God gave them ways to deal with dead bodies, what kind of food that was permissible to eat. Everything that He wanted to know. I just picked out those two. But everything that He wanted them to know and everything that He wanted them to live by. And it was for them so that they would know Him and know who He was. A lot of times we look at the law that God gave Moses, and we just look at it as a set of rules and it's difficulty for those people to follow and to keep. But it was more than that. It was God pursuing His people so that they would know Him. They would seek Him. It's through the law that the people came to know Him. They came to know what He wanted, what He expected from their life. Look at this one expectation. I'm just going to use this one. This one expectation. You look out of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, 2 and 3. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Out of the land of slavery, you shall have no other gods before me. That's pursuit, isn't it? That's telling the people. That's telling the people that I'm the one. I'm the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Don't have any other gods, because you're gonna try to have other gods before me. And I mean, we saw Aaron, Moses up on the mountain, with the top of the mountain glowing, and Aaron was down there making a calf. I mean, that was happening quick. But God says, you're going to have no other gods before me, because I'm your God. I'm the one that rescued you when you were in slavery in Egypt. God was in pursuit of His people. Through this, God was letting His people know that He was the one that rescued them out of the hands of the Egyptians. He was letting them know that He was the one that was listening to their cry. How many of the other gods were coming to their rescue, coming to get them out of their cry? None, because they don't exist. Only He was the one that could rescue them, and no other. He was in pursuit of His creation. We see this play out. God going to get His people through the Old Testament. They go into slavery, yet He goes and gets them. God pursues His people. He continues to pursue us today. His creation through His Son. Let's look at what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is God's ultimate act of pursuit. His ultimate act of pursuit for you and I, to show us just what He's willing to do in order to save us. In order to recall us back, in order to redeem us from the things that have separated us from Him in the first place. Jesus is the ultimate act to show that God is willing to show us exactly what He was willing to do in order to capture our hearts. One person sacrificing themselves for everybody else. How many of you have been, had your life affected by one person, by somebody? Maybe it's somebody who's a mentor. Maybe it's somebody who did something great for you and you esteemed them for that. Well, what about Jesus, who was actually willing to sacrifice His own life, to go through what He went through so that you and I could be pursued by God? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved you and me in pursuit of us. He knew that the only way that we could be together with Him was through the perfect sacrifice of His Son. And He sent Him to the cross, enduring punishment, crown of thorns ripped down upon His head, so that you and I could have eternal life. He pursued us through that. He was willing to send the perfect sacrifice in order to redeem us from our own sins, the things that had sent us away from Him in the first place. He's still pursuing us through that blood, the blood that is always cleansing. Even in our sinful state, He pursued His creation. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Pursuit. He pursued us even while we were separated from Him in our own sins. He sent His Son to die for us on the cross. You think about that for a minute. Well, before we even were aware that our sins were separating us from Him, before we were even aware of the depths of our sins were pushing us farther and farther away, while we were living in them, God was in pursuit of you and me. God has never stopped looking for and chasing His people. Even when we've done wrong, especially when we've done wrong. Because when we look at God and He looks at us, He sees us as very good. He sees us as worthy of the sacrifice of His one and only Son. That should get our attention. We sometimes don't think that we're worthy, but yet God does. God thinks that we're worthy, and He was willing to allow His Son to go to the cross for you and for me. He's always been there, listening, waiting, watching, wanting us to seek Him, but Him pursuing us through His Son. I want to close with this. I want you to listen for just a minute. One time, I was at work. I'm not sure why I'm getting emotional about this, because it had a happy ending. But I was at work, and Lacey and Murphy were little. And I guess I'm thinking about it because I'm thinking about pursuing my son. Lacey and Murphy were little, and I get a phone call, and it was Shayla on the other end of the line. And she says, "You got to come home. I can't find Murphy anywhere." All right? And I think he was probably less than two. And so I leave the courthouse and I go home, and we tear that house apart looking for him. In closets, out of closets. I go outside. I look everywhere. I was in pursuit of my son, because we didn't know where he was. We knew he was lost. We knew he wasn't where he was supposed to be. No matter how much calling we did, we thought he was gone. And I told Shayla, I said, "We're going to have to call the police." And right before I called the police, I go back into his room. Quit. sitting behind a rocking chair that he had pulled up that was full of stuffed animals. This whole time, Murphy was hiding. He thought we were playing. We were not. But there's nothing that would have stopped me from finding him. There was nothing that was going to hold me back from pursuing him with everything that I had. And I did. On the flip side of that, there is nothing that is holding God back from pursuing each and every one of us. And he has. And that blood of his son is still washing us clean today. Thank God for his pursuit and not giving up on us. This morning, if you're here and if you need to place Christ on in baptism, or if you need prayers from our elders, would you come while Darren leads us in a song?